Okay, this is Cherry Lane Genoway of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council calling to order the April 27th, 2021 Executive Board meeting. It is 9:30 a.m. and the meeting is being recorded. Dave, could you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. Would you all please rise, hand over the heart, or salute if you are a veteran? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
So.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth, please take roll.
All right. Elizabeth Busick, present. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Gene Hernandez.
Present.
Phil Mandeville.
Present.
John Pointer.
Present.
Dave Tetzlaff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker. Okay, everybody is present, so we have a quorum.
Okay, fantastic. And Evelyn Velez is a guest today. And with us from the Office on Aging is Erica Danzak. And maybe popping in and out will be Jenna Sergio, who is our admin for this meeting. So we are to item number 4 on the agenda, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any item within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes. Are there any requests to speak? Evelyn, are you here to make a public comment or are you observing?
I am observing. I'm particularly interested in agenda item 6, I think it is.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so public communications is now closed. And we are to item number 5, the Office on Aging updates. Erica.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. So a few updates from the Office on Aging. Just wanted to let everyone know that we finalized the documents that have the SCAC priorities for 2021, as well as the cover letter that's going to be going to the Board of Supervisors for the May 11th board meeting. I did talk with Supervisor Bartlett's staff, and they did confirm that there are no presentations that are happening in person at the board meetings right now, still due to COVID. But we will provide the documents so that they can be included in the agenda packets. And then Supervisor Bartlett has said that she would like to make mention of it during the meeting on May 11th. So she'll call that out. But excellent work by the whole team. I think we put together a really nice, focused, and cohesive document that really spells out the priorities that are very much in line with the master plan for aging with the state. So great job on that. As far as other Office on Aging business, we are in the midst of contract renewal season. So we're preparing all of our Office on Aging contracted services for renewal for July 1st. That goes to the board on May 25th. And it's one ASR, but it's several separate contracts. So it's quite a bit of work, but I think we're getting there. So we'll be in good shape to make sure that there's no disruption in services for our older adults. Other thing I wanted to just make sure that everyone is aware that the South County Senior Summit is happening. May 1st is when it will be available to view. So for South County residents that subscribe to Cox Communications, they'll be able to actually watch it on TV. But for those that don't have that service, they'll be able to access it via a YouTube link. So people can just watch the event from the comfort of their own home. But I think it'll be a really nice informative session because the topic is staying safe and healthy during COVID-19 for those that are aging. So we'll have updates from Dr. Chow with the Public Health Department, yours truly. I filmed a segment within the Senior Summit programming, so you'll hear about all the things that, you know, we've been talking about the past year in terms of how COVID has impacted aging services. We also have our keynote speaker, who is from UCI Health, Dr. Sonia Segal, and she's going to be going over some of the mental and physical impacts of COVID on the aging population. But really, as we start to turn the corner on the pandemic, what are some safe and healthy activities that seniors can do as they start to re-engage? So that'll be really interesting. I encourage you to help spread the word. If you live in South County, you probably received a mailer. But if not, you can follow Supervisor Bartlett's website or visit ocsummit.com, and all the information will be there. Speaking of senior centers, and I know Elaine will touch on it later in the agenda, but we're starting to get calls from our partners in the community, our contracted providers, as well as some of the senior centers that are asking about what the reopening plans are going to be looking like. And we haven't received any official guidance from the state. We've tried to inquire, and the best we've gotten is that our county needs to be in the yellow tier for several weeks before we can even think about reopening our congregate programs, the meal programs. And so Elizabeth Frere from my team, she has started to have a reopening work group with our elderly nutrition program providers, and as well as the healthcare agency that has the registered dietitian on staff, to just talk about some proactive steps for reopening and what that's going to look like for the congregate program. But separate and aside from that, we have a lot of other activities that are occurring at the senior centers that are mainly owned and operated by the cities. So each of the cities might have a different idea of what reopening looks like for their particular senior centers. And we just want to get a pulse on what the plans are out there in the community countywide. And so Elaine and I will cover a way that we can try and gather that information just to get a pulse on what's happening and how we can be supportive and provide some tools and resources for the senior centers to be able to help to better engage the clients, the seniors themselves, and then also to evaluate if there's any concerns that they might need to get those seniors connected to alternate resources, either through the Office on Aging or other services that the county provides. And then the last thing I just wanted to touch on briefly is that I mentioned that the county has developed a work group for implementing the master plan for aging in Orange County. And what I mean by work group is just those of us that provide services and programs to older adults in the county. So the Office on Aging is just one county entity that provides programs for seniors, but we also have our social services department with our adult protective services, in-home support services, CalFresh, Medi-Cal, all those types of services. And then the healthcare agency, which is a third county department that provides behavioral health services and public health services to seniors. So we're still very fragmented in the county in terms of how we deliver these services. We don't do a very good job of coordinating with each other. And so we run the risk of duplicating efforts and really having the clients have to repeat their story like three different times if they're working with three different county departments. So we're trying to come up with a streamlined method in the county internally for having a better experience for our clients so that they don't have to, you know, go to three different places just to be able to enter into county services. So those discussions are happening where we're talking about data sharing, data integration, but at the very least, just making sure that we have point people or contacts in each of our agencies so that when we get the call, we have somebody that we can connect with to compare notes and see if they also have an open case on this individual and so forth. We're also talking about how we want to engage the community with the Master Plan for Aging rollout. And so we're learning, you know, from our mental health colleagues and those that provide services to people with disabilities, the motto of nothing for us, without us. So before we start talking about what we want to do in Orange County in terms of rolling out the master plan, we want to get that input and feedback from the community, from the professionals that are actually working in the aging services industry to see what our local needs really are. And so we'll be developing a survey, two surveys actually, one for clients or individuals, and then the other will be for professionals that are working in the aging industry so that we can gather that data. And that will be just our first strategy for community engagement. And then based on the results of those surveys, that will inform some other community engagement strategies like focus groups or town hall meetings, so on and so forth. So we're not really planning anything in terms of a big event or a big ribbon cutting or anything like that just yet. We really want to make sure that we're being very methodical about this. Our approach in Orange County is that this is a long game. This is a 10-year plan. I know there's over 130 initiatives that the state thinks that we can start tackling within the next 2 years. But even then, we have some time to pace ourselves. So we don't really want to get out in front of anything that we can't commit to, overpromise and underdeliver. So we want to be very methodical about how we roll this out. You might see some even SCAC members working on community events that are, calling it a master plan for aging event. We're kind of keeping an arm's length right now in terms of the Office on Aging or the county, co-hosting or sponsoring any events like that until we get some more concrete direction from our county leadership, our CEO's office, in terms of how we want to partner with the community. So I just wanted you guys to hear that directly from me, because I think that there unfortunately is some things in the pipeline that are developing that kind of happened before we became involved or even aware of. And so we're trying to rein that in a little bit, but we can't control everybody. So Jean.
Erica, having said that, what kind of dialogue are you having with the supervisors to motivate them to do sooner rather than later? The last thing that we want to be seen as, let's slow it down. That's viewed as let's drag it out. Let's kick the can. People already think that our county government moves at glacial speed. So I hate to add to that image. I mean, are we telling them, hey, look, we're good to go. We can get moving. Our group is chomping at the bit. Where are we at?
Yeah.
You follow me?
I do follow you. I think your point's very well taken. I definitely don't want to give that impression, because we are very engaged and have been from the get-go. But we need to understand from the state exactly what getting going means. And so the state they rolled out the master plan in January at the same time that the vaccine was becoming available. And they did a statewide presentation of here's the master plan. And then it seemed like it got put to the side a little bit at the state level, because they were so focused on making sure that they pushed the vaccine out for seniors. And we were too at the county. And it wasn't until just recently that the state kind of chimed in again and said, okay, back to the master plan. There's a local playbook that we really want to go through with counties and sit down and have a one-on-one session with the counties to say, this is the local playbook. This is what we expect from you at the local level. This is what we're going to be holding you accountable to. And these are some of the deliverables that we're going to be looking for. We haven't had that opportunity yet. We just got that invite from the state. I then sent back, yes, Orange County is interested. We want to sit down with California Department of Aging and understand what their vision is for us. They just responded back this morning and said, we have so many requests. We just need to review the calendar and we'll get back to you on a couple of dates. So until that happens, we don't really want to rile up the Board of Supervisors without having some real clear direction on what the state envisions for us.
I don't view it as riling them up. I view it as making them aware that this is something they need to address sooner rather than later. You know, I'm very familiar as an elected with brush fire management, and that Sacramento's excellent at that. They get single focused. You know, you can chew gum and ride a bike at the same time. You can do multiple tasks. We tend to buy the fact that, oh no, this is the pandemic's taken over everything. No, we still have to move on with other things. So I just don't get a sense of that focus anywhere. It's kind of like just what you said. Well, we don't want to rile it. Nobody wants to rile anybody up. So nothing happens. 5 months later, we're still talking about the office on aging or the plan, the senior plan. And it's like, we build it up and all of a sudden nothing. We lose credibility on that. And people go, yeah, right. Another plan, put it on the shelf.
I think the priorities document that was put together by SCAC, that cover letter calling out the master plan for aging, and then here's some of the priorities that we think align with that. Definitely there's an awareness by the Board of Supervisors of the master plan. It was talked about as a coming attraction for a long time. And then, you know, it was finally released. So this is another reminder, you know, of some of the action-oriented things that support that master plan by giving them that SCAC priorities document. And then we'll follow up with, we had our meeting with the state. These are the steps that they, you know, have directed. And here's where the Board of Supervisors really needs to help with our messaging and our activities.
Cynthia?
I am switching a little bit to another topic you mentioned. I am very impressed and excited to hear that you guys are trying to talk within departments. I think that's always been a problem for years and years and years. So thank you for working at doing that. I mean, I think it's always needed. My question is when do you think you really can, you know, implement more of a interaction, you know, or interaction. So is it like 2 months down, or are you getting close, or is it, you know, years again, you know, the time, you know, getting things done is always very slow. So I'm hoping that you guys can do that quickly, because, you know, not you guys in the office, but I don't know how many times, you know, you duplicate your story over and over. It is frustrating. So I'm sure that that's more frustrating as you get older. So thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you see that, because it has been a frustration for a long time. And if the master plan hasn't done anything, it's forced us to have the conversation and to talk to each other and call it out as a problem. So I will say that we are already working better than we have been. It's not going to be something that's 2 months down the road. I connect with social services almost on a daily basis. Our call center is warm lining referrals over to their adult protective services hotline if there's an elder abuse report or concern. They're working together in tandem. So that's already happening a lot better than it ever has. Some of that is due to COVID too. I mean, we just had to come up with some creative solutions to respond to emergency type situations. And because the Office on Aging, we're not a field-based service, we're not out in the community with social workers. We call now on our healthcare agency because public nurses can be our eyes and ears to go check on an elderly client who's homebound, or adult protective services can do those welfare checks when we get the call and it's concerning, but we're a call center, we're not out in the community. So we can work together by providing them those details and information, and that they can be our eyes and ears out there to report back, you know, what the situation looks like and what types of services we need to get them connected to.
Great, thank you.
Okay, Erica, this is Elaine, okay. So perhaps when the priorities are delivered to the Board of Supervisors, they can also be given a timeline of when your call is regarding the Master Plan on Aging. And what will be expected of the Board of Supervisors? What action do we need them to take, and give them a framework of what the timeline is so that they can be preparing for that, and so that our county can already be on track to be meeting those goals?
Okay, definitely. I will do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That's the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. That was a lot of good information. And we'll move on to the standing committee reports. Now, I know, Jean, we had talked about that you were going to communicate with all the standing committee chairs prior to our last general meeting so that they were aware that this change was taking place. Have you been able to speak with them, and has there been any feedback?
Yes, they're all aware and they understand that that's going to happen.
Okay, all righty. Any, before we talk about the transition, item 6A, any reports from the standing committees, Gene?
I don't believe so. I think everybody's going full guns. After Erica's report, I'm gonna tell them to start slowing down though.
No. We want the Board of Supervisors to move at the same pace as our standing committees. So don't tell them.
We'll tell you, they are really having some very, very good programs. They had two excellent ones for the health and nutrition with the doctor that we always want to get.
Bill Lou.
Dr. Lou. He was very good, but the speaker before him was even almost better. And, okay. They're just getting great people, so.
Well, and this is good information to pass on to the board pass on to Phil for possible programs, because it's been done at a standing committee doesn't mean that the full staff wouldn't appreciate the presentation. So.
Well, this is one that we do need to get for full staff. And I think OCFA did a great job. Both were just very, very good.
Okay.
Good. I don't know, Phil, you were there, weren't you, I think?
You're muted, Phil.
Yes, not a problem. When would you like them to speak? 2023?
Well, weren't they? They were good, weren't they? Right?
They were excellent.
Yeah.
And I've. This is just my personal comment. I'm thinking, when do we get to do the work? But we get these speakers, and you drool over them. You go, this is incredible. I now have a whole different idea of vitamin D, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, me too.
Yeah, well, and Jean, keep in mind the speakers for the standing committees are the purpose of having speakers is to support the work of the standing committees, not to be a mini SCAC meeting. So
the speakers are to support
the work of that standing committee, and the standing committees, they don't have to have a presentation all the time. They can have working meetings.
No, I said OCFA, that wasn't for that meeting. They had one on health. This guy was a fitness guy, and I got to tell you, unbelievable. And he geared it strictly to seniors of what fitness means and why you need it. Yeah. And the biggest sin you can do is sitting. And all you have to do is, you can just stand up periodically. That's the same as doing squats or like what Phil's doing. Just move something.
Okay.
Move. It was cool.
If I swivel in my chair during Zoom meetings, yeah. Does that count?
Actually, that's not bad. Just get that body moving. Okay. Use it or lose it, as they say. Come on.
Well, good. But also just keep in mind that it's to support the work of the standing committee. It's not really to be a mini SCAC meeting. And but those excellent speakers, then their information can be forwarded to Phil. And, because he fills out the schedule for the year, but he also needs backups and then to start next year. So,
yeah, these are geared. They specifically have it for health and nutrition. That's what their focus was. And that's who their speakers are geared toward. Same with all the others. Evelyn does the same with legislators. She's get those in for legislative updates and whatnot, just like housing transportation does.
Okay, great. So let's talk about item 6B, the transition to the new standing committee structure.
Who's
got
that?
Do you want to lead that? Huh?
Yeah, who's going to lead that? Me?
You can, or we, if you'd like to, go ahead.
Well, I don't necessarily need to lead that, but that was the discussion that we've had some time ago to make our committees more effective and efficient, and not necessarily, we saw that there was a lot of overlap, especially when it came to groups like legislative. Legislation hits every one of our committees. And so the executive board thought it might be, and this for your edification, Evelyn, that it might be more effective if each each of the standing committees had an element of legislation in it or represented there, so that we got specific legislative changes that are coming up in Sacramento, pending laws, bills, whatnot, that are earmarked for housing and transportation, that are earmarked for health and nutrition, that are, you know, earmarked specifically for those areas. And so we're going to move to that, give it a try, and see how that works. I don't know, Elaine, anything else you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, but let's take a step back to what the primary committee structure would be, because there was a lot of discussion on realigning our standing committees with the master plan on aging. So there were going to be the three standing committees would be, two of them would have two goals of the master plan on aging. And then one of them would have one. And let's see, the goals are, so what is currently the, there's health reimagined and inclusion of seniors. So that would be, health reimagined and caregiving that works would be our, what is currently our health and nutrition standing committee. Let's see, I'm missing one. Oh, housing for all ages and stages and affording housing would be what is currently the housing and transportation standing committee. And then what is currently the legislative standing committee would be inclusion of all seniors. So that's inclusion. That's also where we, a big part of inclusion is technology. So we fold in the technology component. And then there's many other areas that affect inclusion. And then—
Where does the transportation fall, Elaine?
Transportation, housing and transportation is with housing for all ages and stages and affording aging.
Okay.
So some of these standing committees may be also picking up another topic as it pertains to what's going on that year, but it's important that we align with the master plan on aging, so our conversations all have the same foundation and we're working in the same direction. And this is what we had discussed at our last board meeting. So we also discussed that if the committees wanted to change their names to more closely identify with what they're doing or what their MPA goals are, excuse me, they can do that. Also, the committee members would be given the opportunity if they wanted to switch committees, and that the new structure would go into place July 1, because we're dark in June. So they can be getting ready for that. And then at some point, and we need to let the committee members that they know they do have the opportunity to change committees. And if that's the case, then the board needs to then make those, approve those changes. So when did you want to let the committee members know that they can make those changes? Do you want to do that for their May standing committee meetings? And then also if they want to change their names.
I think that needs to be rolled out kind of as a unit, like you just explained and described. I think there's going to be too many, well, what about this or what about that? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? We can say, well, to line up with the goals of the master plan, but they're going to say, well, where would this fall? Like I just said, with transportation, which is a big component, where mm-hmm. does that fall? Well, under the name it's given, it doesn't focus there. The focus is.
But if you look at all the subtopics under that main goal, it's in there. So, and this is why you started talking to the committees several weeks ago.
Yeah, that it was coming. Well, okay. Well, if you want to roll it out at the individual committees, if you'll give me a copy of that, those names and whatnot, how we just covered. I'll take a minute or two to explain that at each of the committee meetings mm-hmm. and share with them. And there's an opportunity if something hits you of more interest than the committee you're on, now would be the time to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because understand, we have on the standing committees, We do have some members who are not members of SCAC,
right,
which is why it needs to be covered at the standing committee level so that they get that information.
Well, I attend all the standing committee meetings. So if you want me to do that, I certainly can do that.
Okay. All right. So then we'll ask for a response by the I'll look at I'm wondering, is it too soon for our May board meeting so we can take care of that in May?
Well, the May board meeting is on the 25th, and I want to say that all the standing committees will have met by then.
Okay. All right. And then if for some reason someone doesn't notify us, that we can always take care of it later. But it would be nice to have the bulk of any changes. And I don't really anticipate changes, or, you know, not too much, unless someone was thinking of doing it anyway and it just kind of reminds them. But at least then we can have that kind of get a fresh start come July 1. But an important thing, component of the inclusion for all is bringing in the technology, which Dave Tetzlaff is heading up. So that'll kind of share the work with Evelyn. Evelyn is the chair of the legislative committee, but Dave is chair of our ad hoc technology committee, and he'll still keep that function. And then I believe Tony Alabama.
Okay, all I'm showing, Elaine, all I'm showing, I have housing and transportation on the 13th. I've got health and nutrition on the 19th, and on the 17th is legislative. What am I missing? Is there something else out there?
No, there's the ad hoc technology committee, but that's Dave. That's not a standing committee.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that function is going to be then kind of folded into that committee, but Dave will still be heading up the technology component of it.
Yes, I can certainly do that then and bring that up with those three.
Okay. All right. And then do you want to send an email out to all, or are you just going to do
No, I'll just say I'd like to be on the agenda, and I'll give an update on restructuring of our committees.
Okay. And then they need to send, do you want them, if they want to change, do you want them to send you the email and then you bring that to the board?
Yeah. Yes. I'll do that. It's probably easiest for them.
Okay. Very good. I see Evelyn has a question.
Okay.
Yes. So will you also explain more fully what the committee's new focus will be, what the goal will be, and how soon it's to change? Because we do have speakers kind of set out, and they may not be, I'm sure they're not particularly relevant anymore.
Well, what we can do there, Evelyn, one, now that I've got you here, make sure you put me on the agenda for the 17th. But yeah, so what we'll roll out the fact that we are closer aligning now with the strategic plan on aging, and there are subcategories there. So we can pretty much make anything fit those subcategories. So I don't think we're going to really make obsolete any of the programs we've got laid out. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to change the speakers for the remainder of the year for your standing committee.
I agree.
Yeah. But it just maybe give you a new focus for the coming year. Okay. Did you still have a question, Evelyn? I see your hand is still up.
No. Now.
All right. Dave, did you have something? I saw your hand up before.
Yeah, I just have a thought that, you know, if this is going to be presented at the committee's May meetings, I'm not sure if they would be able to make a decision immediately at that meeting. I think what you're asking for is some food for thought, and it probably wouldn't be able to be determined until their July meeting, if they're dark in June. So
that's a good point, Dave. What I would do though is just tell them, okay, you know, noodle over this, what we're just laying out here, and then with the next couple of weeks, get back to me if you have some thoughts or issues, and okay. That's how we'll deal with that. I won't ask for an answer or say, hey, we need to know right now. No, we won't do that. And by the way, Erica, can I get an updated directory of our new committee chairs? I don't have their numbers, and I'm always playing the devil trying to run somebody down to get that, and poor Elaine gets the brunt of it. But if you can just give me, because I have the last directory we have is the 19th, or 2019. So
yeah, no, we had there was a newer one sent out, Gene, but we also have a new one which is being updated because we do have a new member.
Okay, apparently that's the one I printed out then. So yeah, if you'll so get
we'll
me
get
that,
out I'll print to you, that one. But the standing committee chair should be on the last one that was sent out.
Okay. So,
but in answer to what Dave said, I think we should though. I don't anticipate a lot of changes with the standing committees, but I think we do need to let them know. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. you know, per the bylaws from the Board of Supervisors, the board has to approve the memberships on the standing committees. So if there's some that know before our May meeting, that's great. If there are others that, if there's some that don't want to make the change after, they can do that as well. And we do have that during the year. We've had members change standing committees. But I think it's always good to kind of give a date by which we would like to know, just so we can, it also gets people to start thinking.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I did not print out a newer director. So if there
okay,
is one,
we'll get it to you, Gene.
Freshen it up for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thought is, you know, if it's presented at May, and I would assume it would require approval of the membership of the standing committee. And you don't think so?
No, you mean changes to the membership?
To change the title of the committee, I would assume would require approval of the committee. And that would not
The committee would make a suggestion, Dave. I don't think they have approval powers. That would be this group.
It's the board.
Okay. Good.
Okay, anything else on the transition to our new standing committee structure? Gene, anything?
Nope, that's plenty. You've given a lot right there, so let's wrap our hands around that.
Okay, all right. Okay, and then we're down to the technology ad hoc committee. Dave, do you have any info for us? You're muted. Dave, you're still muted.
Muted. Maybe that's the best thing, right? No.
Okay.
We're forming the committee, looking at two additional members. I won't announce names until we've got full approval of that. But some of the areas we want to review, and I think Elaine highlighted some of those in her remarks last month, is the availability of devices, the connectability of those devices. Once it's connected, how do they operate it? So that would come under education. And the fourth element would be the money that's required for all of this. I think, so those are the four issues we want to look at. Elaine has established a timeline of September to be able to report to SCAC or the Board of Supervisors. So we have a short calendar timeframe to work with, and we will be conducting our first meeting probably within the first week of May. My question is, with that ad hoc committee, do we still have to follow the protocol of open meeting laws? And therefore we have to work with the Office on Aging to establish a Zoom meeting? That's questions that came that I'm looking
at. Yeah, if you're, Erica, help me out on this. I believe if you're actually having a formal meeting, you would need to do that. If you are just talking with your committee members to kind of gather information and kind of lay out, this is where we want to start. But if there's going to be any action or if there's going to be any recommendations to the executive board or to SCAC, then you would need to have a Brown Act meeting.
Okay, so just to get established, we could do that just inviting them to a Zoom gathering or what have you. But once we formalize that more, then get into the Brown Act law requirements.
Yeah, because if there's going to be any action taken, any recommendations made, anything like that, then you are getting into Brown Act.
Okay, sounds good.
You want to refrain from doing any of that via email. If all the ad hoc committee members are on one email and you guys are making decisions or taking action via email, that could potentially be a violation of the Brown Act. So you want to make sure you do that within the confines of a meeting.
Right. I'm just looking at the expedient way of getting the committee together for the first time. Then after that, we'll look for the Office on Aging as far as support for meeting the Brown Act requirements. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Thanks for heading that up.
Elaine, I'm sorry, I have a question again.
Evelyn.
This is Evelyn, yes. So it would be great if Dave talked about what he's doing in some detail at our next legislative committee meeting, because I don't know that you really want to have an ad hoc committee and a committee that is, you know, and this reformed legislative committee. It seems to me you just want to have the one committee. And I think that David might be in the best position for heading this new committee.
The concern, Dave's eyes just glazed over.
The concern there, Evelyn, is that I'm on the board of directors for SCAC, which does not allow me to serve as a chair of a committee.
Right. Yeah, so Evelyn, SCAC executive board meetings cannot be a chair of a standing committee. That's per the bylaws. So,
but I will be more than happy to work very closely with you on this, Evelyn.
Yeah, so he can be a subcommittee chair.
A
can change the name of ad hoc to sub, and then this would also give an opportunity. Those who are working with you on this, then may want to change their standing committee. And also, there's nothing to say, and we do have some members who are on more than one standing committee. So they may want to switch, or they may want to add if they're already not on legislative. Does that make sense?
I'm waiting for it to make sense a little bit. Yes. Well, as I've said, when I started with the legislative committee, I've been a little confused about what our specific achievements were to be, what our goal was. And so if I'm going to be on this other committee, you know, the new committee name, I want to be really sure that I understand what we're going to achieve. Because if it's just a chit-chatting kind of meeting, that's where we inform ourselves, but we don't forward the mission. I find that to be unrewarding.
Well, and that's been the issue with the legislative committee. I know it's good information that comes, but I know that's a challenge of the committee that I've felt for the last couple of years, in that just we are kind of restricted in how far out we can go with our the information that we get at the meeting. So I think the realignment with the goals of the Master Plan on Aging will bring more fulfilling work to the committee members, and also, you know, you'll actually have something tangible, and then you'll have some output that you can put out to the broader SCAC. So, but you know, legislation is an important component because it basically touches everything we do. I mean, think about legislation or the policies that are made, and that's what trickles down to our communities. So, but I think once you see what the include, what is all under inclusion for all, that'll give you a better idea, Evelyn.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we are moving on from the standing committee report to the chair report. New business, we do have a new member, Amina Sen-Matthews. She is the director of programs for the Cambodian Family Community Center. And she was appointed by Chairman Doe. So I have reached out to her. I haven't heard back from her, but after I have a conversation with her, then I will connect her with Carol Downey, who is our new member mentor, and with the standing committee chair of whichever standing committee she thinks she may like to be on. And, or sometimes, you know, they're given the option to visit the different standing committees before they actually make their selection. We do have also some, there's a couple of members that at our next meeting will catch up as far as appointing them to their standing committees, because there were some still, there was some question, and also we have a pretty full agenda. Next item is the survey of senior centers. So you have all received that survey of senior centers. This is kind of piggybacks onto what Erica was talking about, and that the senior centers are owned by the cities, and each city has maybe a little bit of a different idea as to when their senior center is going to be open and how is it going to be open. Is it going to be phased in? And if so, what activities or functions are going to be phased in? So then taking that along with what we talked about as we were preparing our priorities, you know, there's a great concern that seniors who've been in, quote, social isolation for more than a year now, what's going to happen when you open the doors? How are they going to socially re-engage? And is there going to be some hesitancy? Is there going to be, you know, the term PTSD was used as a result of the social isolation, but how are senior centers equipped to identify that and address that? Because we want to make sure, you know, that the well-being of all seniors is taken into account. So that's why we thought we would survey the senior centers. And this is something that Cynthia Thacker will work with the senior center liaisons. They will then, and this should be a phone call. This should not be forward them this email and have them fill it out, because you actually want to have a dialogue. You want to establish a relationship. This also provides the opportunity for the senior center liaisons to actually speak with the senior center directors and kind of either establish or reinforce that relationship between them and SCAC. So there are some senior centers that have more than one liaison, and it is up to those, and Cynthia will let them know, it's for those liaisons to figure out who is going to actually be making the call, or if they want to do a conference call, they can do that, but they need to work that out. They're adults, we're not going to work that out for them, but we do want a quick turnaround on this. So if this goes out later today, then by next Wednesday, if we have the information back, this is not a formal survey. This is for us to feel the pulse of what's going on out there, or what will be taking place. I know we had talked before about providing some kind of an assessment tool to the senior centers to, you know, recognize certain signs of depression or anything else that maybe our seniors may be experiencing as they come out of social isolation. So this will give us an idea of you know, what's needed. And then this can be, you know, worked with maybe, with OC Well, what am I talking about? You're muted, Erica.
Be Well, huh? OC. Be Well, OC.
OC, Be Well. You know, to kind of give the staff of the senior center some tools and to help our seniors, and then if need be, to connect them to the appropriate place. So any comments on the survey? First of all, any comments on the survey process or why we're doing this? Okay, any comments on the survey itself? Phil?
I think this should go out to the senior citizens as it is written, and then Cynthia later call them, so it gives them time to think about it. This is really an amazing, what I see this as is for them to engage, getting started and asking the right questions of themselves. And I think this is excellent, excellent, excellent.
Okay, thank you. So you're suggesting that this be emailed to the senior center directors, and then they're told, we're going to call you
right
and go through this. Cynthia.
Sometimes is that I've found, maybe, and this is just my thoughts, is that they will just toss it because they don't have a preliminary that this is coming or what it is, and sometimes it's ineffective that way too. So it's a catch-22, I know. So
how about if, I want to make this too complicated, but if the liaison calls the senior center director, says, I will be emailing this to you, and I'd like to set up a telephone appointment in the next couple of days where we can go over this. Would that work? Okay, I know usually when I'm meeting people on the phone, I like to set up that telephone appointment so we're not trying to catch each other. So we've set aside that time on our calendar.
And Jean has a question.
Yeah, I see. I was waiting to finish with you first. I like it when
I'm going to follow up with Cynthia. And what I did, I already called our city manager and I told him, I'm going to send you this survey. I want you to send it to we have a new director now that has the seniors under him, and read this over, and now I'll add, and then we'll have a follow-up call with Cynthia. So you don't need to do anything with it right now. Just read it, let it percolate. And we have responses to all that stuff. And so then when you call Cynthia, he'll be ready to answer and respond to you, our senior coordinator.
Okay, but Cynthia is not calling them unless she's the liaison for that senior center. So whoever's the liaison for that senior center is the one making the call. Cynthia can't.
Oh, well, then I'll make that call. I'll do that. And who do we give that to? Who do we give it to?
Then you send it back to Cynthia and she'll gather them all up, and then I will get them from her.
Okay, got it.
And she'll be sending out an email later today, and we'll detail, you know, when this needs to be done and to get it back to her.
Okay.
And I realize some of our seniors or our members may have difficulty typing this. This is a Word document. You can type in it, but if they don't want to, they can handwrite legibly and scan it and send it to us. Cynthia.
And I will help any liaisons with that contact. So I
okay. Good.
Well, this isn't being filled out by the senior.
So do we have any changes to the questions? Any? Does it all look good?
But Elaine, this isn't being filled out by the senior. It's by the
senior center director.
Mm-hmm. Well, they shouldn't have any problem printing that or typing it, I wouldn't think.
Well, no, I meant our SCAC. If our SCAC member is doing a phone interview, when I said senior, I meant our SCAC member.
Okay.
Because we want there to be interaction. We just don't want to send them a form and then have them email it back. We want that connection to be made. Now, I realize, Jean, you and I are in different situations because as council members, we have regular contact with the directors of our senior centers. So.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the senior center survey? Okay. Well, thank you. Glad you all like it. Okay. All right. On to meeting venues. So we've been meeting via Zoom. Just want to do a little look ahead for when we can get back together. I know our seniors will be, our senior centers will be the last things in our cities to open. In Laguna Niguel, we're looking at maybe towards the end of August that the senior center is going to open. But we have other places that are opening before that. Our community center will be opening maybe mid-July. And I already have some events booked there in September. So as far as meeting venues I know the standing committees have really enjoyed meeting via Zoom because it eliminates the driving. And I know some of them, you know, they miss seeing each other. So we won't make a decision now, but think about if when everything opens up, if the standing committees perhaps kept meeting via Zoom, and then maybe once a quarter or once every 6 months had a meeting in person, just so they can establish those bonds and create that synergy. Cynthia.
Well, or they can still, I like the idea of Zoom just for those, but they can make it, once we open up, they can attend the generals, say, for instance. So that way more people attend the generals, and that way they can still meet and by Zoom, but then they can have their contact at the general.
Okay, that's a good idea. Figuring you, if you've come to the general meeting, then you've satisfied your social cravings. Okay, that's excellent. I appreciate that. Because I tell you, I like meeting via Zoom. Actually get a lot more done. And I'm actually, though, I don't know, I got to keep twisting in the chair because I'm sitting in this chair too long. Okay, also for our meetings, for our general SCAC meetings, I believe probably, because we are dark in December and we're dark in June. So I believe probably in the fall, we will still be meeting via Zoom. My question for you, though, is the November meeting. November is when we usually have our annual holiday luncheon. And so maybe our November meeting, we want to meet in person if we're able to do that. We have quite a few new members, and it would certainly be nice to meet them in person. So I wanted to run this by you because last time we had our holiday luncheon, we had the meeting in Laguna Niguel, and then we drove just down the street for our holiday party. And just for our newer members, the holiday party, it's a luncheon. It is not paid for by the county. Each member pays their own way. So if you like, I could reserve either the community center or the community room at City Hall for our November meeting. And then for the going on to the annual holiday luncheon, we could either, I could see if El Niguel's available again, or maybe you'd like to have the lunch brought in and stay at the community center. And it's a big new $30 million beautiful building. So Cynthia, you're muted. You're still muted.
That's why I raised my hand because I like the idea of catering in and,
Okay, so we would stay in one place. Okay, any other feedback or direction on that? Okay, so I'll reserve the community center and then we'll look at doing a catered lunch for our November meeting. And then that's our last meeting for the year. So Phil, we'll need to let the speaker know that that's a possibility for the November meeting.
Elaine, if I just might add that I will miss that meeting. I've got a Rotary Zone Institute that's in Tucson, Arizona for 3 days, so I'll be there.
I'll miss you. Okay.
I'll miss that event. It's a great event. That location is awesome, and the food's very good, you guys. You don't want to miss that one.
And the good news is November, Erica is going to be our speaker.
Oh, okay. So now she knows. That worked out perfectly. Okay. As we're talking about meetings, something has come up regarding, and I wanted to, maybe ask Erica to let us know what's going on. In case you hear anything from any of the SCAC members, because this is going to be a little bit different change in procedure. And the problem has been with the stipend forms. And there's, I know when I get the stipend form, I fill it out and send it right back. But many of our members don't. And they wait a few months to send them in. And what's happened is it's been very hard to keep track of. And now we don't have the administrative support in the form of Carissa to assist with that. So it's become quite a challenge for staff, and one that they've had to spend more time on than's reasonable. So I know Erica had some information to share with us on that. So this will also be covered with the full SCAC, but since you're the executive board, I thought maybe if you hear that from Erica first.
Thanks, Elaine. Yeah, just to give this group a heads up as the board, we're going to be rolling out a new procedure at the main SCAC meeting in May for the stipend claims. So this really, it hasn't been an issue at all when we did the in-person meetings, because we would have our staff support there with the clipboard. And then, you know, halfway through the meeting, they would just pass around the forms, you guys would sign them, and then we would submit it as a package to accounting, and then they would process it every month. But since we've been meeting via Zoom, all of those forms are submitted to us electronically. And like Elaine was saying, some people do it right away, other people sit on it. And so Carissa was trying to track it, you know, as best she could, but we really lost kind of where she left off after she left. So Jenna's been trying to sort through it all and kind of figure out how many members have been paid through what month, but she won't really have a handle on that until she has the opportunity to sit down with accounting and compare our notes to what accounting has already paid out. But future forward, what would really help ease some of the administrative challenges is if we could just do this twice a year. So every June and December, we would submit 6 months worth of stipend forms so that the SCAC members would be paid for 6 months worth at a time. And accounting is only processing that twice a year. You know, if we return to in-person meetings, this will become a moot point, but I think June is reasonable for us to be able to get a hold of where we left off, where the gaps are, and what we need to catch up on. And then we'll reset a new 6 month cycle in July. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm. Cynthia?
When people don't return, give them a deadline. If they don't return it, they don't get paid. And then if they start not getting paid, then maybe they'll return it. I don't know.
My well, it's only $35 a month, so it's kind of nice when you get a bigger check in 6 months. So
true.
Okay, well, thanks for that, Erica, and thanks for finding a solution for that. So okay,
hey, Gene, why Bill? Do you get 35? I only get 30, and I have a more expensive role here.
I'm well, better
I got
looking.
19. I get 19. I guess I'm paying Uncle Sam. And
well, we probably shouldn't be saying anything about these checks then.
Okay, let's move on to old business.
Yes,
the priorities presentation and the Board of Supervisors. So Erica touched on that in her report. We're ready to go. We did make the requested changes to the letter and pointing out to the board that the asks are in the letter or in the report, so read it, and that we will be following up with them. Item B2, Older Americans Month, as you all know, that's May. So far, I have 4 cities that have responded, Laguna Niguel, Anaheim, Irvine, and Placentia. If you know of any cities, or if you want to reach out to your city to ask them to proclaim May is Older Americans Month, all the mayors were sent the template to make it easy for them. So, and also that'll also be on the Board of Supervisors agenda. And then the Orange County Senior Summit, as Erica said, is in May. I'm working with Sergio Prince from Supervisor Bartlett's office to get both the JPEG and the PDF flyers that I will send out to SCAC so you can distribute it through all of your social media channels. I always request both because like on Facebook, you can only post JPEG, but then there's some other places people say they need PDF. So that's why I always ask for the flyers in both versions. So whatever version works for you, you can send it out. But we do wanna be sure that those are distributed very widely. So as soon as I get the second flyer from Sergio, I'll get that out to you. I also just received the invitation for our May meeting, and we'll be sending that to you as well. The May 4th is the California Senior Legislature Senior Rally Day. Hopefully you have all registered. I don't know if John Pointer wants to add something about that. John, do you have anything on Senior Rally Day?
Thank you very much, Elena. We're moving ahead. We have 450 participants today.
Great. Now, I haven't received anything since I registered. Before May 4th, will they be sending out the link and an agenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good.
So once you get into the site, Elaine, you will simply remain in the site the entire time that the event is going on.
Okay.
So you will even seamlessly move to the advocacy rooms if you signed up to be in one of the advocacy rooms. So okay. Once you're in, you're in.
Okay, good. Well, we're looking forward to it.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and then the Master Plan on Aging presentation, just an FYI to all of you. Erica has graciously agreed to a virtual educational presentation of that. It's very basic and broad as far as the information regarding the Master Plan on Aging, but this is, I know I have one of the local organizations wants to know more about it because they keep hearing, but what is it? You know, they're hearing that word Master Plan on Aging. So I will send that invitation to you. It is not for distribution on your social media, but because they don't want an overwhelming crowd. But if you have anyone that you would like to share information or would like to know about the Master Plan on Aging, they are more than welcome to join us on the Zoom. And that'll be on May 6th at 5 p.m. And it'll just be about an hour. And it's pretty much what Erica presented to us before we broke into our workshops or work groups at our workshop. But it is it's good for us to be educating the public on the Master Plan on Aging, since this is a 10-year plan in our state, and they need to know what that means and what the five main goals are. So that's just an educational opportunity. And Chair comments, I think I've talked enough. I don't have anything else. I appreciate all that you're doing in keeping all of us on track. And we'll go on to item number 9, the presentation schedule, Phil Mandeville. And Phil, I didn't receive the schedule. Did you mail it out to the other committee members?
No, I did not. Did you receive my email that I sent to, who's our secretary now?
Well,
Jenna. I sent it to Jenna and you, Elaine. I couldn't make my computer work on what, it wouldn't accept it. So I just did a hand thing and sent it to both of you.
Did you enable editing?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it wouldn't release.
Okay, well maybe if Jenna can send a copy to Phil again that he can fill in. But it's important for the board to have that because we do need to review the speakers.
Yes, and I sent Jenna the whole, the pledges, the inspiration and everything, so she could just type it and get it out to everybody. I thought she was going to do that yesterday, but
yeah. Well, and I think as we've mentioned before, Jenna's role is different than Carissa's.
I know.
Okay, so Erica, if you could have Jenna send Phil a copy of that spreadsheet so that it can be filled in, and then Phil, once you've done that, if you could send that to the board. And board, if you have any questions or comments regarding any of the speakers, because that's part of the reason why we need to see it, just because, and you and I have talked about the things that we avoid, so, but it's, the board should be able to see that. So, okay, thank you. So, and you also had a good idea on the certificate. So if you could please share that with the board.
We have these incredible speakers that take their time and knowledge and share with us. And I thought a plaque probably wouldn't do it, but maybe a paper saying thank you or a certificate with the Orange County seals on it might might make a difference. What do you guys think about that after somebody speaks?
I think
that's appropriate. You would need to though manage that and get the certificate prepared, and then once it's signed, then either mail it to the speaker or however you want to handle that.
That would be appropriate.
Okay.
And
Erica, do you know if we have a template for that already?
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I think we have something we can use. Yeah, it might not have been for that exact purpose, but we can refine it, and I'll send it over to Phil.
You're okay, awesome. Great. Thank you. And do all the senior citizens, the senior citizen centers, do they all have big screen TVs so that the speakers can be, they can still Zoom even though they might be in a senior center?
You mean that they can see the Zoom or they can present via Zoom?
Present via Zoom, and at a senior citizen center, I was thinking that during these times that we have meetings and we have a speaker, they could do it in all the senior citizen centers at the same time so that everybody would be getting information. Maybe I'm off track here, but in a senior citizen center, they could have a gathering during our gathering.
I think
Art Center is pretty booked, so
yeah.
They would have events during then, so it'd be hard to carve out time just to watch us.
Yeah, it's dependent on the individual senior center, because ours too is booked all the time. In fact, when we have had our meetings there, we've actually had to kick out groups just to accommodate the SCAC meeting. So it just depends on the individual senior center, and then it's just a matter of someone, you know, if they're able to hook up their laptop to the screen. And then as far as recording it's what equipment is available at that center, whether or not I know before we've had some issues with cameras and things like that. So it's on an individual basis.
Okay.
Anything else, Phil?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Hey, yeah.
Do you like my plane behind me? I just bought this one.
I see. That's how you're coming to the next meeting, huh? Okay, now on to Senior Center Liaison. Cynthia.
We discussed this new survey, and I'm excited about it, but I'm just going to say not too much, but it is a great way for me, and I will really work for us connecting with the senior centers. It gives us a great opportunity, and I'll work really hard to maybe 100% back. So I'll work really hard to connect with all of them. I can help any of the liaisons. I will be doing that. So that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Cynthia. And now on to Elizabeth, members in good standing. Is there anyone that we should be concerned about? You're muted.
On the SCAC main one, it looks good. However, for housing and transportation, there is one member who has missed 3 out of 4 meetings, Scott Quinlan. He was there for the January meeting, but has missed February, March, and April. But that's housing and transportation, and he's not a member of SCAC, he's just a member of the committee. And at the legislative committee, there's a Scott Fegg who has missed 2 out of 4 meetings, the first and the last. So those are the only problems.
Okay. Thank you. Cynthia?
Well, Scott is a friend of mine, and I had recommended him. He's the gentleman
Cynthia, you're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Scott is a one is a friend of mine. I did recommend him. I talked to him about all of the missing. He's back on the Orange County OCT, and sometimes the events that he conflict with it. So I don't know what you'd want to do. He does try to get to them, but it is not always possible.
Okay. Well, we could ask the chair to reach out to him to yeah. see if he wants to remain on the committee. The standing committees are to follow the same protocols as SCAC itself and the bylaws.
Yeah.
So with the standing committees, there isn't a limit on the number of seats. So if someone is still able to participate, I think that's good. I know Scott Fake, over the years that has been a challenge with the attendance, but then he does come and he does provide speakers as well.
Well, and Scott, I recommend him because he it's a part of a, he's blind, so I thought he fit in with transportation and housing and his input. So I think he's valuable if he can make it those lines.
Okay.
But I think somebody else needs to. I did reach out to him and he's trying.
Okay, so he's still interested in being on the committee then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, so we'll just, like I said, with the standing committee, since we don't have that limited number of seats, there may be a little more flexibility there.
I think it's a good idea for you asking the chair to reach out to him.
Okay, I will do that. Okay, announcements. Any announcements?
I need Elizabeth's address again so I can send.
Hey, Cynthia, can you speak closer to your speaker? It's real hard to hear you.
I'm using my other computer and that's not really good. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Sound like you're underwater and cutting in and out.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. My other one, I had an issue. I need Elizabeth's address so I can send my senior service report to her. I'm sorry, I can't find it.
Hey, Elizabeth, can you please send Cynthia an email with your address? So she'll mail you your senior hours.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other announcements? None? That means we're ready to adjourn?
Woohoo!
excited. So does Dave. I see that big smile. Okay.
Now I got to go to the dentist, so believe me, I'm not in any thrill to get there soon.
Cynthia, let's touch base regarding the email that's going to go out to the senior center liaisons. Okay. All righty. And
available anytime today if you want to call me.
Okay, will do. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for all that you're doing. Phil will send us the presentation schedule. I will send you the flyers for the senior summit and the invitation to the May meeting. And our next meeting is May 25th, 9:30 via Zoom. Thank you all. We are adjourned.
Adjourned.